Once again, it is my great privilege and pleasure to introduce and to welcome to our church Shannon and Becky Bale. They spent first term in missionary service in Botswana and then South Africa. They're looking to go back to Lesotho, which is surrounded by South Africa, so it's the same part of the world, and they're going to update us as to where they're heading and what that ministry is going to entail. So I want to turn it over to you this time.
It's always a joy to come back here because I grew up in Clinton, so I spent all of my life here. So it's like coming home finally. So it's always emotional. And you talk about Little Galley, and that's where I spent all my years from the first year that they had wilderness camp on through. I was out at Little Galley camp, so I love that camp. So thank you so much for supporting it, because without it, I wouldn't be up here today. That was my foundation. So I'm very thankful for that camp and the opportunity to go there. But we are Shannon and Becky. We have three grown children, Alicia, John, and Shelley. And we have three grandchildren. Some of them are here in Clinton. And we also opened our hearts and our homes to 11 foster children through the years. We worked with Clinton Assembly with the youth group for 10 years and started a young adults Bible study there and a men's ministry. And then we were called into full-time missions. As he said, we spent our first 2 years in Botswana and South Africa. And now we've called to full-time missions, so we'll spend the next 3 years in Lesotho, Africa.
Amen. Go ahead to the next slide, brother. This is Lesotho. Lesotho is enclaved within side of South Africa. You can't count on your hand how many countries are like that. There's not very many that are a country within a country. As you can see, Lesotho is very, very mountainous. I think one of the top elevations is just over 11,000 feet from sea level. So we'll be in the mountains. As a matter of fact, I've been told that I may have to ride a donkey up to some of these places to minister the word of God. I'm kind of looking forward to that. I just don't know if this body's looking forward to that. I think it'd be cool, but we'll just see. I'll have to get in better shape before I do that, I'm sure. But here's some of the neat facts about Lesotho. There's 2 million people in Lesotho. Here's what shocks everyone, and it shocked me when I first found out. Over half of that 2 million, which is 1 million, are under the age of 18. So we need to get the attention of the children. And when you're doing that in Africa, that can be quite a challenge. They don't see children like we see children. We always make sure they're fed first, or that's not the way that goes in Africa. So you have to start to kind of put that out there and make it their idea that we need to pour into our children. Go ahead and go on to the next slide. As you can see, this was at Lesotho. We took a 4-day trip over to Lesotho in January. And when that happened, we got the picture of these kids on the Bible college premises. They actually even have a small school there. But when we were in Botswana, I'll backtrack just a little bit. When we were in Botswana, we did this program called the GEMS program. It was gospel evangelistic ministry into the schools. And what we would do is we would take lessons into the public schools each and every week, and you would see many kids come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, we would think that the teachers weren't listening to us. You know, we thought, oh, we just had like 60 kids in front of us, and they're all excited about getting to know Jesus, you know, lessons and things like that. But the teacher would be sitting like over here where you're sitting and just grading papers and stuff, and you wouldn't think they were listening. But we'd have often them come up to us and grab our shoulder and go, is there any way I can know that Jesus you just spoke to the children about? And we're like, absolutely. Let's let these kids do their homework. I know they got work to do, and you and I are going to go so I can introduce you to my best friend, Jesus.
Next. This is one of the things that when we first heard about Lesotho that caught my heart and my attention. Sheep herders. At sixth grade, 12 years old, the boys have to drop out of school to go and attend their family's sheep and cattle. They have to go up into the higher mountains to let the animals graze. So they're away from their families for 3 to 6 months at a time. Yeah, at the age of 12, they're away from their families. They send them out. Some of them are, until they have a younger brother to come out, they aren't allowed to come back into the school system. They have to keep doing that to make money for their families. So many of them at sixth grade, they're done with their education too. So that's one of the goals that we have, is to find out how we can minister to all those boys that are up there. They do currently have some Quebecan nuns that are there that have started a small school. So after they lay their sheep down at night, from about 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night, they'll help them with just their math and some writing to where they don't fall completely behind. But it's not enough to come back in and to get a good job or anything, but it helps them to keep up with a little bit of society. So that is one of our goals that we had. Next slide, please. While we were in Lesotho, we also had the opportunity to sit down with the national leaders from the church there and ask them what their vision was for the few years that we were going to be there. The first thing they said is, we want a children's ministry. And we were excited because that's where our hearts have always been. And we're like, we can do children's ministry for them. So we talked about it, and they showed, and I'll show some of the slides later, of why they want children's ministry. Not only the sheep boys that they have up there, the sheep herders, but they have numerous street children, orphans, that their parents, a lot of them through the AIDS epidemic have lost parents, and then also through COVID, they've lost parents, so they have a lot of street children, and there's mosques that are being built all over the capital city, and they said as they come out and they give the boys food and they give them clothing, the next thing you know, they see them going in and following Islam, and they said, we don't want that for our children. We want them to have this foundation. How do they get that? And I was like, you have to get them in the church at a young age. You can't wait till they've been in this. I mean, there's witchcraft and everything else going on over there too, so there's all kinds of things that hold their attention. So to get them at that young age is what's going to hold them in. So that's what we're hoping to do once we get there. The other thing that we did while we were in Lesotho was we went to visit the Bible College. Currently there's 40 students at the Bible College, but they're learning without books. They have no curriculum right now. So we're doing a $5,000 launch fund for the book fund, which will put a book of every subject in the 40 students that are there now. And then as students come in and they pay $2 to have a book, that money will in turn print more books to where it'll be self-sustaining. So the pastors that come up through the years will only have to pay $2 for a book, and they'll have books there. And these books will be printed much different in Africa. These were printed here in Springfield, Missouri. But those over there would just be a pamphlet with, you know, a loose leaf binder. But it'll still be something that they'll have in their hands instead of having to try to go through Bible school without any books.
Amen. Go on to the next slide, please. Now, this is Pastor Carabo and myself. Now, you see me like this? It was hot over there. It was January, and January is hot over there. And you can see I'm in a metal building. This was their church. Yeah. It looks like a playground for about 4 or 5 kids, maybe. You know what I mean? To get them out of the weather or something like that. But this is where the church operated out of for a while. So that's Pastor Carabo, and I'll go on to the next slide. See the tabernacle on the left there? That's their new church. And that's what we want to see in Lesotho. There is a number of churches that are alike, and you're going to see it as we go down through these slides. We'll go through them kind of quick. But this is the normal on the right. That's what you'll see as a church in Lesotho, in the mountains. But what we want to do is we want to see some of these tabernacles built in Lesotho while we were there. As a matter of fact, there are churches that are already coming alongside of us and raising funds to see these churches built. As a matter of fact, they want to come out and be part of that when we build that. So we're trying to put all those things together. At the same time, we're going to be trying to learn. I mean, that's going to be a year before we bring anybody over, because we got to learn everything in Lesotho the best we can before we start bringing people and ingrain, you know, putting them to work and stuff like that. But that's what we really want to see, is we want to see these tabernacles come up. Go on to the next slide, please. So this is the inside of the new tabernacle. You saw it wasn't blocked in before. Now it's blocked in. Now, we can't do this with each and every tabernacle, because that really costs a lot of money. But remember, I told you that Lesotho is very mountainous, and guess what? It gets freezing cold up there. I mean, right now, it's opposite weather. We're going back into the cold weather. It's going to be like 30 degrees. We don't think of that when we think Africa, do we? I know I never did. When I was a kid, I'm like, it's always hot there. You know, all I see is sand and things like that. But it's south of the equator, so now you're going to start to see winter, us going over there. But that's why they have those brick walls. Now, we can't do that with every church. This church, the people that are over there now, were able to help them get this done. But you know what? I don't know if you would come into this church without any walls in it in the wintertime. Would you be here? Probably not. Just be honest. You probably wouldn't be here. Because it gets cold. Rain hits you in the face, or the snow, it'd be all over your Bible. So they didn't either. So we want to see these walls come around them, but they're going to have to take some of this on themselves. But we do want to see these tabernacles built. And each one of these tabernacles is going to be like $10,000. So people are coming together. Churches are coming together to raise the funds for these types of things. And we do believe we will see some of these tabernacles built out there. As a matter of fact, one church has already said, we're building one and we're coming out on a missions trip. So guys, keep your ears open, and pastor's going to hear all about it. So if you guys want to do a missions trip to Africa, I would definitely invite you to come over. If you let us have him for a couple weeks or something like that, we'd love to have you over there. Go on to the next one, please. There is the finished product. Now you can see they got stairs, they even got a ramp on it, they got doors and windows. This is like the creme de la creme of a church. I mean, they've got other churches that look really nice out there that the Swiss built. But this is they did their very, very best work on this. You can even see on the sides. I don't know how well you can see it, but see how the corners are even got brick on outside of them? They did a very good job of bricking this up. So we pray, and you can see the other church in the background. Look at the size difference. You could only fit maybe 20, 25 people in the other one, and that's shoulder to shoulder. This one, hundreds of people can be in this church, and they'll be in it this winter. They won't have an excuse to not be in it this winter. As a matter of fact, Becky and I will probably go preach there, one of the first places we go when we get to Africa. Go ahead, next slide.
This is also one of the churches up in the higher mountains. They use what they have to do. And these are one of the churches where they said, this is where we'd like to come in. They already have the church established. They already have a good attendance. This is where they'd like for us to come in and consider building those churches. Yeah. The next slide, this is even farther up in the mountain. This is their church. That's what they walk to. They have to walk, and we have a video of them crossing over a creek and around and up a mountain to get to their church. The goal in Africa is to have a church within walking distance of every African by 2050. That's a huge goal. But when you stop and think that they're willing to walk 5 or 10 miles to get to church, it doesn't seem as much. It's hard of a goal. And next slide. These are all the children that come with their parents. Well, you see how small the church is? It doesn't even fit all the parents. So what do the kids do? They have to go out, and as we was talking earlier, they have to find a shade tree or something and sit under the tree or on the ground. They don't have this thing like they do over here for the kids with tables and all that comfort. Yeah. The kids are just pushed. And so that's one thing they're wanting to do. If they can get another church built, they can use this for the kids. Well, that doesn't even look like it's big enough for all the kids that are coming. So we're thinking they might need two buildings, one for the kids and for the adults. But this is also shows a thing. They have all these children, but they don't have anyone trained to do children's ministry. So a lady will go out, she'll sit under the tree, she'll just open up the Bible, and she'll just start reading to them. No explanation or anything, and then when the church service is done, she'll close her Bible, and they've had church. So it's just like somebody picking up a book and reading it to you.
Yeah.
But you know, like tonight, we have questions. We need answers.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things they want us to do, is to be able to help the pastors train up the church so that they can go out and minister to the children, and we can have children's ministry.
Amen.
You're up.
All right. So at the end of this, we would like to do a question and answer, if that's okay with you, Pastor. If you guys, is anybody on Facebook in here? Can I get a hand? Oh, look at this. We got people on Facebook. I'll allow you to get your phones out right now and put this into Facebook. Bales Beyond Borders. Like it. And then you'll get all the updates from us while we're here. You'll see your picture from this church today. Your church will be on our Facebook page today because we've been here. And we'll talk you guys up. We'll tell everybody to come here. You know, I'm just saying, we love. It's not hard to love Texas Christian Church. You all know that, right? I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But people outside of here don't know that. So we'll let them people know on Facebook. And we have some followers on Facebook. But we want you to get the updates when you can. Pastor will end up getting emails and stuff like that, and he can keep you updated that way. But you're also welcome to that. If you want our newsletter via email, please pick up one of these cards. It's a prayer card. They're right here. We got hundreds of them. We got more stacks just like that in a box at home. Please pick up one of these cards, first of all, to pray. Pray for us in Lesotho. Not only pray for us, but we need a team in Lesotho. It's just going to be Becky and I in Lesotho right now. The folks that are already there have to come back in July. So we're going to miss them. We're going at the end of July, hopefully. They're coming back at the beginning of July, so we won't even have a good crossover that way. But we believe they're coming back, but we need more people. We need people in the Bible college. We need people to do children's training. I mean, it's endless, guys. I could just go all night long talking about what we could do in Lesotho to see it grown for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God. But this is important to us. Please, please, please grab a card and pray over us. Put it where you're going to see it the most. If that's in your Bible, put it in your Bible. Use it as a place marker. Take two or three if that's what you need to do. Keep it for your book, whatever that is. I would put mine on the refrigerator because that's where I like to go, is to the refrigerator so that I could be praying for those people. Are you guys with me? I think I hear somebody with an amen, a laugh, whatever. So also we have these prayer journals. Now these are the older ones. I wish we had, Lesotho's not in this one. But this is a 21-day prayer journal. And it does have some African countries in it. And just pick it up. It's free, guys. It doesn't cost anything. If we need more, we got more out in the car, and we'll make sure we go get them if everybody wants one. But pick it up, because I think it will really help you get an understanding of what's going on in Africa. But it also has a place where you can journal a little bit about it and pray for these people that are in here and pray for these countries and the missionaries. You may not even know these missionaries. Yeah, you know us from Africa. You may not even know these missionaries, but I'm telling you, they can use your prayers too. Amen? So we want to say thank you. My goodness, I don't know if you guys know this, but you guys have been coming alongside us for years. It's from the beginning, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I believe from the beginning, Texas Christian Church has come alongside of us, and each and every time I turn around, you guys are picking us up more and more in many, many ways that you can only imagine that helps us. Not only financial, we know your prayers are there too. Don't get me wrong, financial is important, but I'm telling you, that prayer that you don't think may not matter much, I'm telling you, it means everything when it comes to the spirituality of fighting demons and things like that are over in Africa. We need your prayers. So with that, I will turn it over to you and ask you if you have any questions for us. We love interaction. Do you guys have some questions? Lesotho.
So will the Bibles be in that language that you're going to teach from?
This? No, most of them know English.
Okay.
The ones that don't, they'll have an interpreter. That's something I want to kind of put in place. I'm glad you asked that question because it's something I think I'm going to be and this is never my jam, guys. Let me just put it to you this way. I never thought I'd be a teacher. But now that I've got the Word of God in my hand, I love to teach. So I believe I'm going to be teaching in this Bible college more often than I would have thought before. Because I'm just starting to walk in those types of things. He grabbed my heart when we went to Lesotho and I saw the need for curriculum and things like that. He grabbed my heart. So those that don't know English, they'll have an interpreter actually next to them, like their friend that already knows English, and so they can speak to them during any time we're teaching or anything like that. But what I want to see is someone beside me that can speak Lesotho and is able to do it. It takes a little bit longer, but you can get through one of these books in a couple weeks if you do it right and you teach it right. You can get through it in a couple weeks. So I'm just saying, and we're going to learn Sesotho. As soon as we get there, we're looking for a language, what do they call them?
Nurturer.
So we're looking for that, and they've already kind of set that up for us, the people that are there. So that's kind of cool. We're excited to get over there and start learning all that stuff. And the other thing with the language, when we were in Botswana, that was called Setswana. The Setswana language and the Sesotho language have the same greetings. So we already know some of the greetings, like Dumela is hello in Setswana and in Sesotho, and also Maruti is pastor. So I would say, Dumela Maruti. And when I said that to them when we went to Lesotho, they were shocked. Oh, you know our language. I said, just a little. Very, very little. But they understand, and it kind of, you know, that puts a smile on their face because you're already greeting them in that. So it starts that good relationship, and that's what's really important. The other thing I like to talk about in language, this is the last thing I'll say about language, but I want to ask you something. How do you hear the Lord? Do you hear him in English, or do you hear him in Spanish? How do you hear him?
I hear him through...
In English?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. You hear, that's the same thing with the Sesotho language. We want to speak their heart language. When you can speak their heart language, it pierces places that the English language won't, because it's their heart language. So that's our desire to really, I want to be able to preach in the next 3 years. That's a goal for me, to preach in the Sesotho language. And that's not going to be easy. That's not an easy goal, guys. But I really believe that God will give us the grace to be able to do that. Another question? Oh, well, obviously. Yeah. No, this is yeah. These are good questions.
When our term was up in Botswana, and we told them that we had a desire to become full-time missionaries, they asked us if we had any place to go to, and we said, well, you know, we're still thinking about that. We're just walking through the phase, and our leaders gave us three countries. And they said, you can stay in Botswana, but we'd like for you to go up to the northern part, which is like 8 hours away from where we were at. And they said, well, you could go up there. You could go to Eswatini, and they said, but there's people in Lesotho, too, that really need that. And so we went to our prayer closets, and within the first day we came out, and we was like, Eswatini is just, there's a brick wall there. No for either one of us, just don't go there. I said, both of us could very easily go back to Botswana because we fell in love with the people while we were there for 2 years. But I said, we really want to hear from God. But every time somebody said Lesotho, our hearts just jumped, and it couldn't stop. And so we said, you know, we just really need to pray for this. And our leader said, we knew you were going to say that, but we only have one suggestion. Find a team, because it's going to be very difficult and very lonely without that. Yeah. And so we started praying for a team, because the people that were on there at Lesotho were retiring to come home. Well, a year ago, we had people that said, yes, we'll go to Lesotho. So they've spent the last year there. They're due to come home now for a year before they go back. And so we said, we found a team. We've got people that are there, and everything was falling into place, but we needed leaders. We haven't went out and done this before. And so they gave us a leader, and they're actually originally from Indiana. When we went in January to the conference, we were excited to hear from them, and they said, the first thing we want to tell you is we're being called back to full-time ministry in the States. We won't be your leaders. And we're like, okay. But they said, we have somebody else in mind, and it was a couple from South Africa that are missionaries there who actually are living here in Joliet this year. So we've had a really good chance, an opportunity to go up and meet them. We already knew them from when we were in South Africa. They were our leaders there. So even though they are living in South Africa, it's only 4 hours away from us. So they'll still be our leaders. So everything's falling into place like that. And God's just supplying everything we need.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
You said right now, the weather.
Degrees.
It'll be about
cold right now. Just put it on your phone, and I'm telling you, Google it. It'll tell you that.
It gets up to 50 during the day, but it gets down in the 20s at night. and the seasons are opposite. So we're just going into winter when you guys are going into summer here. And so usually by the end of August, that starts springtime. That's when you start planting your crops spring, and you harvest in December. It's very, yeah, seasons are opposite.
No higher
than 85 because it's up in the mountains.
Yeah. Yep. You need to come visit and check it out.
It's
awesome. I can't wait.
When we were in Botswana, we were right next to the Kalahari Desert. So it was 105 over there. Maybe got down to 80s at night. I did like that better. I don't like the cold, but I will pack my long clothes and my blankets and I'll be happy.
Okay, that's the next question. The children.
Yeah.
Is this really a poverty-stricken area? Clothing, things like that for the kids?
They have right now what they call food insecurities. So a lot of people, if they can't grow their food themselves, they don't have a lot of food.
Right.
They have, mainly it's just porridge. A few of them that do get sheep or something, they have a couple sheep, but they don't have very much else. And it was hard during COVID, because it is landlocked with South Africa. For over a year, the borders were closed. So nothing came in and nothing went out of Lesotho. So they didn't have anything coming in. And they get most of their goods, they get 85% of their goods from South Africa. So they were, you know, stricken hard with that. They even had a lot of the churches say, "Why did God forget about us?" So that's one thing that the pastors have asked us to do. They said, go your first time. They said, just go and invite the pastors into your house, have tea with them, encourage them. Let them know that they're not alone. And they ask us just to go to a different church each Sunday, not to get used to one and call it a home church,
right,
but to go to a different church each Sunday to just encourage them and let them know that they're not alone in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do see a lot of food insecurities.
It's third
there.
World.
We have on our property, we have a garden that's probably longer than this building, and we have a school right behind us. So we'll be able to plant enough that not only for us, but we'll be able to give to the school and the children behind us.
We'll do what we can. But you can't feed them all. There's just no, it's not possible. She had a question back here, then I'll come to you. That's hard to do.
Yeah, that's really hard because of everything, that the expense of packing it over there. I know when we go, we're trying to limit it to 10 suitcases. But that's $200 a suitcase for us to take our stuff over there. Right.
Right.
So in the shipping, that's why, yeah, when you have clothes donated, unless somebody's going, a lot of times if we have other missionaries, like when we went in January, we didn't need all of our suitcases. The lady that was over there, the missionary's wife, was expecting a child. Her parents live in Indiana, so they got the suitcase of children's clothes to us, and we took them as our extra baggage over there. So there's always people coming, missionaries coming and going that might have, you know, room for a little bit in theirs, but usually they're taking supplies back with them for what they need.
And with AGWM, Assemblies of God World Missions, they do some of those things. They have, you know, they'll have those things where people can pour into that. And if that ever becomes something that we know about and where that is coming to Lesotho, we'll let Pastor know, and then we can let you know. But if I'm going to give you an answer, I'm going to give you a straight answer. I don't know exactly how you could get those clothes to Lesotho at this moment without it costing you thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, we
get this everywhere we go because people want to put clothes on the kids.
Yeah.
But there's no way. There's just no way we could ever do that. It really is. But
yeah.
I don't. You have to stop it somewhere.
Yeah. One of the interesting things you see, you know, when they have the World Series. They don't know who's going to win before the game starts.
Mm-hmm.
They have both outfits prepared for whoever's going to win, you know. What do they do with all those jerseys? Well, when you go over to Africa and different countries, you see them running around with shirts, and it's like, That's not who won that year. They take all those and they donate them and ship them over there. So yeah. That's how they get a lot of their clothes and a lot of what they call here factory rejects, because most of those are made overseas.
Yeah.
So they never come to America. So that's what they get, or those that you have, sometimes they have something and it's spelt wrong. And it's like, okay, oh, that's it. That was a factory reject that they just sent and donated to them. So they get a lot of them that way.
If there's something that does happen, I will get a hold of Pastor and we will let you know. And I'm sure it will come out of the woodworks from everyone to do that. Because what they would do is they would fill up a whole container of clothes.
A
shipping container. Whether that's sending something over to us and they got room in that shipping container, now all of a sudden you got room where you can stuff jeans or whatever you need to stuff in there. But that's not the case right now.
Yeah.
But I promise you, we'll let you know if that does come to fruition.
One thing I wanted to mention too before a question.
Okay.
Well, I don't forget, is the, I don't know if you've seen what some of the churches do with the shoebox greetings. They had the one that was here in Illinois that loaded up 6 of those big shipping containers, and they went to Lesotho this year. They don't get them. They ship them, at Christmas. We're hoping that we're there by the time they deliver them, because they don't usually get them till the end of July, end of June, July
cold.
Is when they get them. And so we're hoping we're over there. That's why they always call it Christmas in July. That's where that came from, is because that's when most of those start getting those. So we're hoping to be over there to see them open up their boxes.
Yeah, and we'll take plenty of pictures and make sure we send that back and keep you guys, afreath. You had a question. Not very good. No, it's not at all. So we have a way to bring water in. They haul it in and stuff like that. So
they don't make wells.
Oh, they have bore holes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, recently on the Bible College, they just finally got water after, I don't know how many years. Went a year without water. Now they have the people that are there that were coming to take their place, they got a bore hole bored out, and they had the video, and the water was just, coming out. I mean, they were celebrating. They were thankful. Now they'll have water for their bathrooms and things like that. If not, you got to bring everything in that's filtered. So you can go buy it at a store or something like that, but it's not right out of the tap like you and I would drink. So great question. Great question. Yes.
You said it was third world.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that the effect?
I guess third world can be different looking.
Yeah.
You may not see, I don't know, I recently saw this sign that hunger is hard to detect. You can look at someone and say, oh, they're eating good, but they maybe have a bloated stomach, but they might have a stomach on them, but it might be bloated because they haven't ate. Sometimes when we look at things, they're not as they seem. Third world, I'm talking about how much the money's worth. I mean, our dollar in Lodi, which is the money over in Lesotho, is 1 to 18. Our dollar's worth 18 of their dollars. Right. Now you think, oh man, you'll be able to live cheap. It's not like that. They just raise everything you want goes up in price. So it's just like here. Come on, guys. I mean, let's be real. I mean, it's inflation and it's just not good. So I'm just saying that not as many clothes, not as many shoes. They don't live like you and I live at all. They don't have you saw the churches, right? We showed you a church. All them kids were on the outside of. No way could they even make it into that church. They had to be outside of the church so the adults could have, inside the church. So, yeah, thank you. You're doing a great job back here, by the way.
And the kids that do go to school, when the kids go to school, they get a loaf of bread that's about that thick, a boiled egg, and a cup of tea. That's what they get for their lunch.
Yeah.
Some of that, so if they don't have school, they go to school for 3 months, they're off for a month, and then it's year-round. So every 3 months, and then you're off for a month. So a lot of times you see it really during that month where they don't have it, you see them digging in the garbage cans more and everything because they don't have that food that they're getting at the school. So, yeah.
So it'd be a great way to minister, right? Mm-hmm. That's where else we're going to try to get moving in these churches, especially some of the bigger churches that got a couple hundred people in it. We would love to bring in a feeding program, but they have to take that on. Becky and I can't go to all these churches and set up all these things to do, and then we just leave and it just gets, nothing gets done with it. They have to have the heart to take that on, and we got to make them think it's their idea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it boils down to. You have to do that.
There's money set aside to build kitchens.
Yeah.
So once we get over there and we see where, you know, a lot of times they say an orphan lady or something is cooking for their whole neighborhood, and she's just using two or three pans outside. Well, when you go and you see those kind of feeding programs going already on, then we can come in and say, we can build a kitchen for them, and then they can feed 250 to 300 people a day. And so there's money for that, but you can't go in and say, we're going to plant a kitchen in this section, because it's just like the churches. If we say we're going to go to this area and plant a church, you go back 6 months later, if there's not a church already established, they've got their animals in there using it as a barn. So you have to know where the need is and go and supply the need. You can't just say, okay, we're going to go in and build churches in these areas and that. You have to make sure that there's a need. So when you see a lady already doing it, you can come along beside them and help them and get them set up for it.
And we will do that just to learn more about what's going on in their program. But we wanted them to be theirs, because we're going to come home in 3 years and do the same thing we're doing now. And we don't want that thing to fall apart when we come back. It needs to stay sustainable. Just like these books, it needs to stay sustainable. Because if it's not, then you're just spinning your wheels and you're throwing money at something. And that's not wisdom at all. Man, I love this.
How long do you desire to stay there?
The Assemblies of God tells us we can be there for 3 years. Then we have to come back and raise a budget again. Usually it always goes up because you're doing more out there.
We come home for a year.
Yeah, we come home for a year, just like we're doing now. We come home for a year, raise our budget, speak to our churches and things like that, and say, this is what's going on. Give an update about, just like we're doing here. Here's what we got going on out there. Do you guys want to be part of that? For 3 years. Now, every term after that will be 4 years. So from there on, it'll be 4 years, 4 years, 4 years. I had the head of the Assemblies of God ask me, how long do you plan on being a missionary? And I gave him this answer. I said, until I die or till you tell me I can't do it no more. That's what I told him. And he just giggled in the background. I'm like, really? I'm not going back to Caterpillar to weld, man. This is what I'm called to do. I'm called to be the minister of the word, whether that means there, here, wherever that is. I'm going to minister the word of God wherever I go.
So you plan to stay?
Yes, sir. We love it there. It's home. Don't get me wrong. I'm an American boy all the way through. I'm born on the 4th of July, for goodness sake. But I'm here to tell you, I love Africa. It's home. We miss it. We ache to get back to Africa. And folks, let me just put it, and I don't do this very often, but God wants me to share this today. We are only $300 a month away from being able to go back to Africa a month. That's in a budget that was $8,400 a month. We are down to $300 a month is all we need to get back to Africa. And we know God's going to fulfill it. But I'm telling you this, you guys are a huge part of that. I can't tell you how much we love that you not only give into it and you pray into it, but you continue to ask, what else can we do? And that's what we're here to give you today. This is what else you can do, and let the Lord lead you and however that looks. Thank you guys so much. Anything else? I'm getting a little emotional, sorry, but we do appreciate you guys.
The animals of threat, do you eat them?
Which ones? You might be mad when I tell you which ones I eat. You ever heard of zebras?
Yeah.
We eat zebras.
Well, it's a horse, right?
Yeah. Well, not really. I mean, I guess it is. It's got four legs, but it doesn't go neigh.
We don't eat it on an everyday basis. We went to one restaurant, which is called Carnivores, and they served it to us. Otherwise, we have a lot of the game meat. Just like here when you go deer hunting and everything else, we eat a lot of the antelope, the kudu, and the eland, and those kind of things.
A lot of antelope. Beef. I'm going to give you, this is a good shocker, a good question. When we were in Botswana, there was four cows to each person that was in Botswana. So that was a lot of cows, right? Very, very cheap. I could get a 2.5-pound filet mignon for $8. Guess what we ate every week? I was on a very first name basis with my butcher. I would call him and say, "We're coming in for chicken." I said, "Do you got any fillet?" They called it fillet there, not filet. And I'd say, "Do you got any fillet?" He goes, "Oh yeah, I'll have a quarter for you." He would grab the quarter of the cow and bring it and set it down and cut that filet right out of there and put it in the bag and say, "Here you go, Maruti." $8. Oh yeah, I gave him good tips.
Yeah. But I keep reminding him that was in Botswana, and you don't see as many running around in Lesotho. But we're probably five miles from the South African border. So, ladies, you'll understand this. Once a month, I have to travel from Lesotho to South Africa to have a haircut. There's nobody that will cut my hair in Lesotho. Yeah. And so there's another lady that owns an office supply store there, and she goes, "You're going to be my partner, and we're going to go shopping once a month over there, get our hair cut, pick up our groceries and everything that we need, and come back."
Yeah.
That's good, you know, for the business owners and for us that can afford to. But you look at the nationals, and they can't go across to South Africa where there's meat and everything and pick it up. They have to supply off the land. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of things where at times it, when you talk about culture shock, that's what bothers you, mm-hmm. is when you're thinking, I can go to South Africa and get something if I want it, but then my neighbors can't. The children behind our wall, if we don't have vegetables growing, they won't eat, but I'm sitting here eating steak. So at times like that, that gets hard, and it's like, is it worth it to go over there and get this, or do you start eating what they do? Well, he's not a big vegetable person, so he's like, it's worth it to me to go over and get the meat.
Do you have bodyguards?
You do. You can. But I would call, we're going to live right across the street from the
U.S. Embassy.
So there's guards, I'm talking MPs, guarding that area often. But we're in an enclosed place.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a gate, it's safe.
6-foot fence around the area.
But thank you for asking about it. It's safe. That's what you need to hear from us, right? Yeah. It is. Yeah. I'm not saying it's always safe there. You can't, depending on where you go.
Yeah. When we go up into the mountains, we always have a national with us.
Yep.
Because, like for that, they can speak to us. When you see all the shepherd boys up there that aren't used to seeing people, they say they get rocks thrown at them every time they go by because they're afraid somebody's going to come and try to steal their animals. So they start throwing rocks at you. And they said, but when they see a national
safety
with them, they know then not to bother them, that we
don't hit our new car.
Yeah, that we have that. So,
oh, she got another one.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do they preserve anything?
Mm.
Can they?
They can. Can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can.
They can.
You know, like in the old days, they used to wrap meat and salt.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'll be honest with you. We haven't been there long enough to even give you that answer. I haven't.
Even in Botswana, I didn't see any
canning,
any preservative like that for the meat.
No, they don't. I don't.
They
think.
Have chickens all over, and it's the neatest thing to see. They let them roam free during the day. The children go out at night and know which chicken's theirs and take a little stick and guide it back into their coop and do that. And it's like, how do they know out of all these chickens which one? But they do, and they know, and they guide them right back in. So they always have eggs, and they have chickens. And a lot of times when we go to churches, like you say, when you take your offering, you're not surprised. You always keep a plastic bag in your vehicle because you might get a chicken for an offering that day, and that's what you take home, and you put the chicken in there, and all you do is stick its neck out as to where it can't flop around in the car, and you learn how to transport chickens. So there's lots of interesting things to...
Well, if we get one of those, we'll make sure we take a picture of that, too. So you know it's true. Good? Thank you guys so much, and God bless you all.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
You may have noticed there's a table that is set up here. We invite you after the service concludes to come and check it out and talk to them individually if there's other questions that you have for them. And It has been a great honor to partner with them through the years and to see lives being changed. And we want to pray with them, pray for them, and partner with them in the gospel. So let's close in a word of prayer. And then again, we invite you to come up and spend some more time talking to them if you would like. Heavenly Father, we know that it is your desire for all people to come to know you through Jesus Christ. But as your word says, how can they hear unless somebody tells them? And how are they going to tell them unless they're sent? We have here tonight two of your children who are responding to the call to go to a place that none of us would probably ever consider, but where there are people created in the image of God for whom Christ died that need to hear the truth. So we ask that you would raise up support, that you would raise up all the necessary steps so that they can return to the field and watch over them, protect them, provide for their needs, so that together we can see this gospel of the kingdom preached to all nations, because we know that only then the end will come. And so we ask that you go with them, go before them as they travel to different churches, raise this support so that they can go sooner instead of later and reach these precious souls for you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.